and sound the horn in Zion.
August 8, 2015, of course, was
888. And then August the 17th, 2015 was 888. And we found some correlation in the Bible concerning that number in breaking the Jesus code in the Old and New Testament, where that number or the name or the mystical number, I should say, as it relates to the Son, popped up. As we said, 888 was in Greek mysticism and mythology the number of the Son. So in Numbers chapter 2 and in verse 3, it said that the tribe of Judah was to put their tents or place their tents towards the rising of the sun in Numbers chapter 2 and verse 3. Then in verse 9, something interesting is stated. In verse 9 of Numbers chapter 2, it says that the number in the camp was 186,400. Now, those of you who spend any time in a classroom or done any level of reading know that that is the number of the consistent rate of the speed of light per second, 186,400. So we're talking about light, and that's very important because that subject will come up tonight as we discuss this. So Jesus is from the tribe of Judah in Revelation 5, and 5 says he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so the symbol of Jesus corresponding to those who wrote the Bible and gave him the name Iousus that comes out to 888, and 888 is the mystical number of the Son, corresponds to Numbers chapter 2, where the tribe of Judah is to make their encampment in their position toward the rising of the sun. And verse 9 says that there were 186,400 in the encampment, meaning the consistent speed of light. And, of course, the greatest source of light that we have is the sun. Now, in Revelation 5 and 5, he's called the lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, the interesting thing about that is that the symbol or the metaphor that is used for the summer month of August, July and August, is Leo the lion. And so Leo the lion, when the sun moves into that particular constellation, we're into the lion, which is the king. And the interesting thing about that, Jesus is called the lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, if you read back again in Numbers chapter 2, you'll find out that in verse number 2 of Numbers chapter 2, that each tribe was to place in front of their encampment or their tents, rather, the sign or ensign, which is a flag that had a sign on it, of their father's house. So there are 12 tribes. And each tribe, Jesus' tribe, Judah being the lion, each tribe represented a zodiac sign in the heavens. And we can show you those signs. So August 8th, 2015 comes out to 888, the mystical number of the sun. Very, very important for us as we look at the year 2015, which comes out to 8. So we're in a very special time just based upon these numbers. And anyone that spent any time around the Bible know that numbers are important. So we broke the Jesus code. We broke something very special is going to happen in August. And so we go back to Revelation chapter 5. So we see that when the sun moves into Leo at 888, something happens because in Revelation 5 and 5 it says, he loosed the seals, the seven seals. And those seven seals are symbolic. We went through the symbolic reference of those seals with Moses climbing the backside of the mountain, the book in Revelation 5. Was sealed on the backside with seven seals. We talked about the seven locks of hair on Samson's head, being symbolic of that. We talked about the 7 days that Joshua marched around the walls of Jericho, being a symbol of that. We talked about the seven daughters of Jethro, who was the priest of Midian, who was Reuel, that Moses went to the backside of the desert, again, symbolizing the backside of the book in Revelation chapter 5. The book is written within, sealed on the backside with seven seals, and Moses goes on the backside of the desert where this guy has, this priest of Midian, has seven daughters, so there's the number seven that pops up again. Then we talked about the story in Daniel where three Hebrews are thrown into a furnace, and that furnace is heated seven times. Again, symbolic metaphor of the seven seals. And then we talked about the seven clean animals that Noah was to take on the ark. Well, all of those seven have to do with the seven nerve centers in the spine, in the back of the book being your body, the backside, that lead up to our brain. Now, we broke that code, and in August, the energies that come in when the sun goes into Leo would open those seven seals. Now that we've passed Leo, and we saw some interesting things happen in that correspondent. We saw a lion by the name of Cecil kill in Zimbabwe. Then we saw another lion loose in Milwaukee. And those two names, Zimbabwe and Milwaukee, had deep esoteric meanings. So we see this happening on July 23rd as a dentist was hunting on a safari and killed Cecil the Lion, which was a tribal hero or an icon there in the area. But Cecil the Lion contracted to come in to die or to be executed at that time or to be slain as a part of his spiritual contract to send us a message in this month that something very special was happening if we were paying attention. And so we pointed those things out. But now that we've moved from Leo, and we've moved, the sun has precessed, it's moving along the ecliptic. It's not in Leo anymore. It's in Virgo. And that's what we want to talk about tonight, briefly. We want to talk about the sun being in Virgo. Now that the seals are open, what's happening? Now that our bodies are prepared, those of us, we put on the Maccabi event, we put on a Heart of the Lion event to show how to activate or how to activate those seven nerve centers or energy centers in our bodies. But now we've moved. The sun has moved. Now that these energies, and just the other day on the science tip, we read where the sun is sending out CMEs, coronal mass ejections. And these CMEs have particles, photon particles, and light particles that are called neutrinos. And these neutrinos are light particles that are coming to the Earth as we speak. Everything is right on time. Everything is right on time. Now I'm trying to get back to my board here. It's going out, but I'm okay. All right. We are right on time. Now, the report of these, this soul flare or I forget, it wasn't an X-class solar flare, but I think it was turned into an X-class. Is that right, Elijah? You want to tell us a little bit about the solar flare?
Yeah, there was like five or six M-class flares, and it was one of the largest solar spots that we've had in quite some time. And it was directly facing Earth, which they were really had their antenna up, if you will. NASA and SOHO watching it.
Okay, great. Now I see my co-host in the area. I need to give an introduction to him, so I'm going to parenthetically stop here just for a moment to do an intro because my older brother and mentor, my guardian angel, he's done a lot of things for me for years. He's been a tremendous asset. Matter of fact, he's put quite a bit of money in my hand over the last 10 years, somewhere around $3 million. and he's just been a tremendous help, and he is more radio ready and trained in voice for public speaking than I am from a child through the church. And I've been fortunate to have him as a friend. Matter of fact, I am where I am now because of a book of his gentle prodding and teachings and tutelage and urgings to urge me open to consciousness out of the illusions that I was in, and really to start this journey that I'm on in 2007. And so I see him. He didn't use the host code. He's on the participant code. He didn't come in with the open mic, so I took his mic open. I opened his mic for him. His mic is open now. He doesn't know. I just happened to look up at the board and see him. So I'm thankful for Mr. Sylvester Brooks, who has been a very viable part of my journey and experience on all ends. And I really thank you for putting, $1 million in my hand on one occasion, two on another occasion. And but beyond that, the more so than the money, the information and the awakening that you placed in my hands to put me on the runway in 2007 by giving me a book that really made me angry. And I want everyone to meet Mr. Sylvester Brooks here. He's an accomplished singer, and he's of course, you can tell he's a financier from the way I've talked about the money, and a bankster, and knows financing and real estate. And he's in the room with us tonight. Mr. Brooks, my friend and my brother, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, just fine. Thank you very much for that wonderful introduction. It was so glowing, full of accolades, that I had to look around to see who you were talking about. But I'm delighted to be on the call this evening. As you know, a couple of weeks ago I was on the call, but I called the wrong number. And we're asking for people to comment. I was listening at a past recording. So in any event, I'm glad to be I'm from California. Yes, sir. Ma'am.
Well, we're glad to hear. You know, it's an absolute pleasure to have you, because we are going to spend the next few minutes. I don't plan to go over an hour. I'm looking for my brother, Tony. Tony, you have the open mic. If you are out there, don't make me hunt for you, because the dialogue and the exchange that we have brings out the best in me. And as we're talking to Mr. Brooks, if you would just use the code that I gave you to come in with an open mic, I'd appreciate it, because when I brush up against you in conversation, just hearing your voice, it brings out the best to me as well. So use your code that I gave you to use the open mic, so you can bring out the best in me, so the people can get the best that I have on this evening. So here's what we're gonna do segments, and I've already kind of done a review over the lesson as we broke the Jesus code, and we showed you how the sun in the sky is passing through this particular sign, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, and what happens to us personally as we look at what the Bible says in terms of the seven seals that we think is a book. But now remember, the people that wrote this, they're writing in their language culture of the time. And so they're writing in stories. These people are telling stories. They're using folklore. They're using metaphors. They're using allegories. They're using parables and riddles. They're using dark sayings. The Bible, matter of fact, says that Jesus never, ever, ever, ever spoke without using parables or telling stories. And that's what the Bible records concerning him. And so when you approach the Bible, to approach it as if you are looking at a literal book, you can never walk away with the right or correct interpretation because of language culture, of how people communicated, and told principles, but those principles were hidden in stories. So the Bible is that kind of book, and you don't pick it up. It's written by people that were mystic and mystical and esoteric. These people were seeing things in other dimensions, and so you can't just pick it up and read it like you're reading Shakespearean sonnets or Midsummer Night's Dream or Othello. It's not that kind of literature. It's esoteric, it's spiritual. So we've broken this code. And so Jesus has been identified as we track the sun, and we can track the sun in his procession around the 12 zodiacs, and we can see the events of the life of Jesus. And so this particular event that we've isolated of opening the seven seals, if I'm making myself clear, it was located in the month of July, but now we process. And so let me just see what Genesis 1 and 14 says, and then I'll move into this. Genesis 1 and 14 says that he placed lights in the firmament of the heavens. Now, that simply just means that there are stars above in the sky. We want to call it sky, or we call it heaven in the firmament, but they're stars. That's where the lights are, the stars and the orbs and all of this. And these lights are placed in the heavens. They were made by a creator. And he says he placed them there for a reason. And one of the reasons that he said he placed them there was that he says, and let them be for signs. S-I-G-N-S. For signs. So there's that word, sign. And Psalms 147 and verse 4 says that he named them. He knows them, and he gave them their name. Now, you have to ask the question, well, who named the stars? And, of course, the scriptures, if you know the scripture says that the Creator, he did it. He called them by their names. So it has a meaning, and each name has a meaning, and it has something to do and has some effect upon us, because he asked Job a question concerning Orion, Pleiades, Octopus, and then he uses the word zodiac, but it's not zodiac. It's called Mazaroth. And Mazaroth simply means the zodiac. So the stars above us are for signs. Now, that's very important, because in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, he said he would show us a sign. And if we're looking for that sign obviously would be in the firmaments of the heavens or in the sky, which contains the light that he named. So I'm trying to just take you. And so when the sun moves out of Leo into Virgo, he said, behold, I show you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son and shall be called Emmanuel. Now, what does that mean? That means that when the sun leaves Leo, after having sent the energies to open up our seven chakras, that now the sun moves into Virgo, and Virgo is a virgin. Isaiah 7:14 says, a virgin, I show you a sign, a virgin, the sun, S-U-N, moves into Virgo, and a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning, interpreted, God with us. So now after having opened our body and the seven nerve centers in our spine, the energies now, the sun is being baptized by the energies of Virgo that will send particles that the scientists are looking for, God with us. They will send these particles to us that will affect us, that will make God be with us, or should I say, God in us, as the sun now is emitting special CMEs with something called neutrinos. As the sun enters into Virgo, the energies are coming now, that and the particles, the light photons, particles, are coming, which we will receive, that will enable us to, I believe, unlock our DNA And the God particles that are coming unlock the God inside of us. God will be with us. God will be in us if we know how to receive these energies. In Virgo, behold, I show you a sign. When the sun moves into Virgo, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and that son shall be called Emmanuel, interpreted God with us. So now, if this is correct and creation is playing a part in the redemption of the planet, including us, and there is a gradual process of this redemption, because he says in Luke 21 and 25, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And he says, and there will be distress of nations with perplexities, and upon the earth, the roaring of the way of the sea and the waves. So these particles will have two effects on people on the planet. One, distress and perplexity will come to those who are not prepared to receive these particles. But then in verse 28, Luke chapter 21, he says, when you see these things, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. So in the gradual process of nature, as we are gradually being grown and developed by these energies, these particles that are coming in are unlocking in some of us our God potential, while in others it is causing distress and perplexity, according to the scripture. There will be fear. There will be fear. So these particles are not going to have the same effect on everyone. Some it will have a positive effect on, and others it will have a negative effect on. Those that are, it will have a negative effect on, we can see some of the strange things that are happening. People are doing strange things like killings, and there seems to be an increase or an acceleration in some of the violence and disturbances that are going on in our country. Much of the disturbances that we see, some of the tensions that we see that exist along certain levels and stratas in terms of social upheavals and tensions and stresses are based upon these energies. The stresses we see in our world are based upon these energies. The stresses we see in our neighborhoods are based upon these energies. The irrational behavior of people taking firearms and going inside of churches and schools to shoot down people, you will see an increase of that based upon the people or the whether or not we're able to process and assimilate these energies that we're talking about. So you can expect this. But then there will be those who are in a position who are ready to receive these God particles. They have done the work. They've done what Jesus said. And he said, practice the single eye. If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. And these light photon particles coming off the sun will be assimilated into our and incorporated into our body. And no one on the planet will remain unaffected by these particles. Now, I'm almost at the end of what I wanted to say. Interestingly enough, when the sun moves into Virgo, and before I get to Libra, and the good news about what happens as the sun moves and what's getting ready to happen, there's also some negative information, but there's some positive information. But I wanted to stop right there because Isaiah 7 and 14 says, behold, I show you a sign, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son and call his name Emmanuel, interpreted God with us. So the particles are coming in right now as we speak, right off the sun, to unlock the God spark in you for you to return home. Now, I could get into complicated teachings about this constellation and the decans that are involved in the constellation of Virgo, which would be Coma, which is full. There's a constellation in the zodiac. The sign is Virgo, but then there's a Coma. There's a constellation called Coma, which is a woman and a child sitting on the throne. And then there's the decan that's also in this constellation that's called Boots, which means the coming. So each deacon, there are three deacons in each one of these constellations, and so that all of those are very important. There are 10 degrees in each one, make it 30 degrees, which brings us to 30 days in a month. So Karma is the first one, the first deacon that's in this constellation, the constellation. And then Centaur, or Centaurus, and that's very important, half horse, half man, which speaks to what is happening. And then what it is in our nature, the beast in us, the lower nature. And then the half horse, Centaur, is a half horse, half man. And then finally Boots, which is the picture of a man with a spear in his right hand, a sickle in his left hand, and he seems to be walking very fast or coming, and that's why he's called the coming one. And all of this has to do with Virgo. These deacons and these 10 degrees in each one of the deacons and in this constellation, and it has a lot to do with the energies that are going to come to the earth. So I want you to be ready. I want you to be prepared for these energies. And I want you to act irrationally and act out in violence because, again, Luke 21 and 25 says there will be distress of nations with perplexities because of this sign. Now, I'm going to stop right there. And I want to see how can we speak to this, because something very interesting about these signs that are written in the Bible, and you can't understand the Bible without understanding the constellations, because before there was a written text over in Egypt, in the walls of the temple, there was this was written. Now, the Bible says that God named the stars and gave them their meaning, and the name has meanings in them. But in the temple over in Egypt, the temple of there's a portico, and the temple of Esa that shows the version, and the walls of the temple of Esa on a portico showing the lion that we spoke about earlier, and the version, meaning the beginning and the end of the zodiac. Because the lion is the end, the version is the beginning, or the vice versa, I'm sorry. The lion is the birth of the sun, and it moves in its precession along the ecliptic until it comes back around to the version, and that is the end. So we have the Sphinx that's in front of the Great Pyramid of Giza with the head of a woman and the body of the lion. And what is the image of image, or what is the message of this stone megalithic monument? What is the message being sent? Telling us that the zodiacs are from Leo to Virgo. Now, what does that have to do with us? What is this Sphinx and this megalithic monument right in the middle, in the center of the earth? So clear that we can't miss it. I mean, it's right in the, for Pete's sake. It's right in the geometric center of the earth, and they put it there to send a very clear message to us that something very, very special is going to happen concerning our interaction with these energies that are above us in the lights that the Bible calls the lights in the firmament that are for signs. And as we've seen, the whole aversion, I'll give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. His name shall be called Emmanuel. Now, I'm going to stop there because that's the first segment of this, and I want to see what my brothers have to say about that. Lottie, what do you think about what I talked about? Are you there? Sylvester?
Yes, I'm here.
Can you speak to what I've just said?
Well, I'm just a little bit overwhelmed with what you just said. But, you know, I do find it interesting that those pyramids are located in an area or a place on the earth where they are tapped into these heavenly energies. And I do think that that somehow we need to get back to where we used to be, where we were tapped into that source. We've been so far removed from it. And most of our memories in terms of those life experiences have been erased. And I think that if we're able to, and I think at some point we will be able to tap back into our true sense of who we are. But that may be taking this conversation into a whole different other realm.
I think you is not taking it into another realm. And let me just briefly interrupt you, hold your thought, because I think it's right in par with what we're talking about. And the message that I think they left for us is that we are going home, coming back to our God self. And the God particles that are coming now off the sun, as the sun is baptized by this constellation and this zodiac, the Virgin and the constellation of Coma, Centaurus, and Boost, is going to create in us, I believe, the accelerated process that we will become like God. The Christ, it will awaken the Christ in us, the Christ spirit. So yes, so it's not far. I think you're right on it, but we may be saying it a little differently from what I'm saying, but we're saying the same thing. Continue.
Well, I also feel that in addition to what you're talking about, that I think one of the things, is, in a way, it's sort of, I think we need to have a better understanding of who these people were. It would help us understand who we are. And we tend to think that in the 21st century that we're the enlightened ones, that we are smarter and we have greater capacity and intellectual capacity than our forefathers. And what happens is it gets muted because there's a so-called history, and then there's prehistory. And so the minute you start segregating out the time periods, suddenly prehistory doesn't seem to take on is an indication of a lack of appreciation for the quality of life of these people. I think that people 3,000 and 4,000 years ago were just as smart as we are. And it's evident by all the signs and the signals that they left in terms of science, in terms of dealing with the whole notion of spirituality and God. All the engineering feats that stand to this day, 5,000 years later, their works stand as evidence of a civilization that was very enlightened. And, for example, the pyramids, all we see is a bunch of bricks out there. But there was a soils engineer. There was a mechanical and structural engineer, not mechanical, but structural engineer. There were people that were builders. The people that built these things weren't slaves. They were skilled laborers. And I think that the more that we can understand who they are and stop thinking that somehow all this stuff came about because something... a Coke bottle fell out of heaven. I'm sure everybody saw that movie. And they were mystified. But there were people that were intelligent, capable, and basically have set the foundation for the rest of the world. And there's all kind of evidence of it. There were numerous universities throughout Africa, none in Europe. There are great works in Africa, none 5,000 or 6,000 years ago in Europe. And what happens is they've taken all that stuff. Mathematics, the Pythagorean theory. Van Tertemans says, show me somebody who used that math to build a building. There aren't no buildings using that math in Greece. I mean, it came later on. But at the time he's coming up with the theory, they built nothing like has been built throughout Africa. And we always talk about Egypt. But the first pyramid started more like in Central and South Africa. And they just
Well, you know also, the fourth dynasty, which is dated by our current society as prehistory for the reasons of suppression, because they were so advanced, they were so in touch. The fourth dynasty is dated prehistory. And the reason they dated prehistory is because the current system has suppressed that information in order to claim the beginning of history with themselves. And not to, while at the same time, stealing the knowledge, not only of mathematics or the Pythagorean theory of mathematics or architecture, because you'd have to be an architectural genius to build these pyramids the way that they did. And not only architectural, you have to be astronomical, because these pyramids are aligned with the constellations. And then inside of the walls of these pyramids, there are stories that are written in the walls, in the porticos and the frescoes or the writings in the hieroglyphs. There are messages. They understand. They're in oneness with all of nature. So you have math, you have geography, you have cosmology, you have astronomy, you have astrology. And then plus these people are writing at a time when no one else is writing. And as you led me in 2007 to understand through a book titled The Africans Who Wrote the Bible, that really insulted my training, my academic preparation, all of the matriculation that I had done in academia throughout Bible college and school, graduate and undergrad work. It insulted. It caused me to have to dismiss everything I was taught. It was offensive. This book was offensive. But upon further examination and scholarly academics, one has to conclude, based upon the facts, that the information and the knowledge that we now boast of having in the West was stolen out of Africa, right out of Egypt, and then covered over. Even the knowledge that we're talking about tonight, concerning the astrology, these people were able to look somehow. They had such an advanced civilization that they could look into the futuristic generations and see us right now at this point, based upon the energies, based upon the procession of the heavenly bodies, and know that at a particular time at where we are right now, that the energies would come in to return us to a glorified state that they call the golden age. And we come back where the God particle, the consciousness, will be raised again. We will remember. We will begin to remember who we are. And that's happening all across this country, as I see. We're shaking off the illusions and delusions that this system has veiled and kept hidden, kept suppressed, and kept away from us. I'm watching this generation that we're in right now move away from the superstitions, move away from the dark illusions. Little by little, bit by bit, people are awakening. And what is this based upon? It's based upon what we're talking about tonight. Now, I do need to say something, too, as the sun moves and sends these particles. And you can check this out, by the way. Don't take my word for it. You can go to your website, and the good thing about this internet now, that you can go to any university by just sitting in your room or your den or your wherever you want to sit in your car or in the park and just push a button. And through the internet, you can get any information that you want to get just by a push of the finger. Now, you can go and look at what's happening with the sun right now at NASA's website, All About Us. .com, Science Daily. You can watch these events. You can watch, look at what we're talking about in a scientific aspect. When what I'm saying is that the people that wrote this Bible were scientists. And I'm proving that to you. They're showing us that they were scientists. And they hid it in stories. They told it to us in stories. But they're talking about science. You cannot divorce the cosmology, the astrology, the astronomy, the math that we talked about, the numbers 888 earlier, and the language. You cannot divorce any of this from now. Since I'm there, and we know that these particles are coming in, Isaiah 7 and 14 says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," meaning God with us. And these particles are coming in now that will unlock our DNA, will awaken us. When the sun leaves there, on September the 23rd, the sun will go into Libra. And that is a cardinal point. Now, listen to me carefully. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. I've got to get this in. Because September the 23rd is very, very important, 2015. 266th day of the year. The 266th Pope will be in the White House in Washington, D.C. with the president. Now, let's talk about that just for a moment. The sun processes to a cardinal point, meaning that there are four cardinal points. And this is so deep, and I don't know how to say it in the time frame that I have, but the cardinal points means vortex, means opening. It's almost like the womb or the door through which something comes. Now, think about that word that I just used, the opening, the door, the vortex. The gate, the womb, the 266th Pope in America on the 266th day, and 266 is a number of normal days in a normal gestation period from conception to delivery for a child or a baby. Now, had to work that in. Now, given the nature of the Pope, now he's involved in religious rituals. And I have to really stretch my mind to dismiss this as coincidence. I just can't write it off as coincidence that the 266th Pope is in Washington, D.C. on the 266th day of the year, which falls on a cardinal point, meaning that the fall equinox and the spring equinox, the two solstices, are the cardinal points where this energy comes in that changes the four seasons, winter, spring, summer, and fall. These are cardinal points where the energies change. The energies come into the earth to change the seasons at these cardinal points. And there are feast days on this day. This is Yom Kippur, which falls upon a feast day in another religion in Judaism. It's called the Feast of Atonement, the Feast of Atonement. Now, the Pope is here. He's religious. Some kind of religious ritual is going on because everything that he does has something to do with some kind of religious ritual. Now we're at a cardinal point, meaning a vortex, an opening for the seasonal change, where the sun is at the equator, and that's what the word equinox means equal. And the Pope is here on that very day in the Oval Office, which is a symbol of the womb. Looking at, and my business partner told me what that canal is called, that leads out of the White House on the south side. You can see it from the south side of the White House, and I've been to the White House several times. Matter of fact, I was invited five times in 2005. And out of the south side of the White House, where the Oval Office is, you can look straight out the window and to the canal or the water channel that leads to the Washington Monument. And now you have the Oval Office, a symbol of the womb, the opening, the birth canal, the symbol of the water channel that leads to the Washington Monument. And the Washington Monument, obviously, is a phallic symbol stolen out of Egypt. We know this. We know that the Washington Monument is a symbol of the phallic, is a phallic symbol. We know this. And you have a birth canal. You have the Oval Office, the womb. You have the cardinal point. You have the 266 pope, 266 day. You have 266 days in the normal gestation period from conception to birth. Something ritual is happening. What is going on? A birth or an abortion? Are we looking at Planned Parenthood, who's been in the news recently, caught selling human tissue? And then we know that coming on the 28th, when the sun is still processing in the sign, as Genesis 1:14, let them be for signs of light. Sun is moving to the sign, and then we go, the sun falls below the equator and moves into another feast that's called the Feast of the Ingathering of the Harvest. And the ingathering, are we looking at some kind of ritual harvesting or some kind of ritual birth? Is something about to be born or is something about to be aborted? That's the discussion tonight. As we look at September the 23rd, 2015, 266 day, 266 pope, 266 days of gestation from conception to birth and delivery. Oval Office, Washington Monument, the birth or the water channel or the birth canal or the canal through which life comes. What are we looking at here? What is this pope and this president trying to say to us that we need to hear in this symbolic meeting of the pope? And he's the first pope that will ever address Congress, the U.S. Congress, and will go from there to the United Nations, and from there back to Philadelphia for the blood moon. And the blood moon falls on another feast, which is the Feast of Harvest. My question is, what are they harvesting? What is this harvest about? I don't think it's going to be agriculture. I don't think it's going to be corn and beans and soybeans. I don't think it's going to be that. I think something has to do with what Planned Parenthood has been caught doing, selling human tissue. That's the ugly side of this. Are they waiting to see if our God particle is unlocked inside of us because of these energies to get samples, to do whatever? I don't know. I got it out. My time is almost up. We're at 7:50. We're at 7:53. I'm going to open up the queue, and I'm going to leave.
Q&A session started.
You can come into the queue by pressing *6 and then 1. I'm here. Mr. Brooks is here. I wish Tony would get here. You can come into the queue. Let's talk about this discussion. Let's talk about the sign, the God particle, Emmanuel with us, God coming in us. Let's talk about what's getting ready to happen. Are we looking at some kind of religious ritual that's about to occur? I just read an article today that a warehouse in Detroit had thousands of body parts on ice, trafficking body parts from Chicago to Phoenix to Las Vegas, Detroit, Chicago, Phoenix, Las Vegas. God knows they are trafficking human body parts, harvesting humans, people, human beings. Are we looking at some kind of mass harvesting this fall harvest of human beings that we are unaware? If so, you've been forewarned that they are looking for the God particle. Are they looking for it as it is unlocked in some of us? Talk to me. I'm in the room for three more minutes. You need to come into the queue. You can come into the queue. Get into the discussion. Don't be afraid. Don't need to be afraid. We're here now. I'm out there. I've stretched out on the line of accountability. I'm out there. I can't take it back. And I'm unafraid and I'm unashamed. *6, come into the queue. If you're out there, *6, come on into the queue. I'm waiting for you. This is Khalif Zafnat Podnia. There's someone. That's Angel Lady Love. I believe that's Angel Lady Love.
Honey,
is that Angel Lady Love?
At the pool, yes. Greetings,
my dear. How are you? We got about 5 minutes.
So okay, real quick. I'll try to do this real quick. First of all, the pyramids are all over the world, but more emphatically, remember, we can't rule out Pangaea. All these